Canucks, and studied economics down there. Came back 2013, raising my own family here in Salem. Now I have a four-year-old daughter, and a, you know, four-year-old boy, nine-year-old daughter. Got some birthdays coming up this coming week, so we're excited about that, ramping things up. I grew up in the hospitality industry, been working with Vips Industries now for over 10 years. Positions I've held there, everything from night lobby to front desk to reservations manager. Love the company, love who I work for. Transitioned over to the corporate office now, where I work with the CEO directly and manage his assets personally and professionally. So that's been great. Love working with nonprofits here in Salem. I'm currently on the YMCA board, and we're looking forward to opening our new flagship facility here in the downtown, kind of hoping that'll bridge the gap between the capital and the downtown core area. That comes in September, so excited about that. And I guess I'll just close with, you know, I really love this community. I love the people in it. I love the businesses, and I'm really dedicated to seeing everybody thrive. So I truly believe that starts with a vibrant and collaborative downtown Salem. So thanks, Kim, for the opportunity. Look forward to working with y'all.
Thanks, Rory. And Chrissy is not with us, but Sheree, could you give us a little bit of a rundown on Chrissy?
Well, can I just say, can I look like Chrissy? Because she is amazingly attractive, so, you know, I'm not going to do her justice by filling in for her and when she comes at the next meeting, but Chrissy is the general manager at the convention center. So it'll be fun to have, and of course, I think you all know that the agency owns the Salem Convention Center. And so she is the one who is close to all of the activities that are going on there, all the events, and she's real close and works closely with Travel Salem and helps to bring, you know, people, attendees into our downtown, and she's very supportive of downtown also. So I think you will enjoy working with her, and I look forward to that. And same with you, Rory, welcome.
Awesome. Well, really excited about you two being here, and it's only going to add more value to what we're here in charge to do with that, and, you know, all the perspective matters. I think we've definitely got the hospitality side covered. Moving to our approval of the agenda. So I call for a motion to approve that, unless there's any questions or comments.
Move approval of the agenda.
And I'll second it. This is Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Linda seconds. Okay. All those in favor of approving our agenda, say aye.
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 Those not, nay. Motion carries. We have an approved agenda. Moving forward to agenda item number 4, approval of our minutes from our May 26th meeting. Unless there's any comments or questions, I'd ask for a motion that we approve those as well.
I'll move to approve the minutes from the meeting of May 26th.
Second.
Thank you. Kirk seconds. Okay, all those in favor of approving our minutes from the May 26th DAB meeting, say aye.
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 Those not, nay. All right, score. We have an approved minutes. Now, moving forward to agenda 5. We are moving forward expeditiously here to our public comment period, where we will see an appearance of persons wishing to address the board on any matter other than those which appear on this agenda. So, Sheree, who do we have in store here for our public comments today?
I am unaware of anyone that's scheduled to speak to us about something that is not on the agenda. But thank you for asking.
Of course, I figured that was in there for a reason. Okay, if that there is no public comment at this time, we can move forward to our action items, which there are none of today. So it must be July 28th. But I know that we have some really exciting information reports, and I'm sure we're going to have some exciting conversation about this. So moving forward first, thank you, Councillor Stapleton, for being here. So you made a commitment to us to check in with us quarterly, and you're fulfilling that right here. So first, thank you. And the floor is yours, please.
Thank you so much. I did make a couple of notes of things that I wanted to just quickly update y'all on. Nothing that you probably haven't heard about already, but I really want to open up a time for just open communication between you all and me, and see if I can take anything away from the conversation that can help me just be informed, but also if there's anything I can help you with on the counselor side of things. So. Just really quickly, I wanted to let y'all know that at our last city council meeting, we did approve a transfer of $30,000 from the general fund into a separate fund that we're trying to get together, the Capital Jam, which is going to take place on August 27th downtown at the riverfront, both stages down there. We're looking to get 8 different bands playing continuously throughout the day, free admission for everybody, and I think it's going to be a great way to celebrate the park and its new features, and really the community coming out as a whole. And I think anything we can do to encourage that sense of normalcy ever since the pandemic, I think is a good thing. And I'm just really excited. Every time I go downtown, it seems like there's something going on. So it's been really a great lively place to drive through lately. Not only are people downtown, but construction is downtown as well, as you all know. And I wanted to make a note that the streetscape is going along nicely, as well as the replacing of the water main, which are two really big projects that were scoped out to happen this summer. There is also work that's going to be happening on our parking garages, and I'm sure maybe Sheree has a better idea of when that's going to start, or I can find out for y'all if nobody else knows. So a lot of investment going into downtown right now, which is exciting. Other things that are more broad would be the hiring of our city manager, Keith Staley, who's going to be starting in the middle of September. And I really couldn't be more excited to have him on board. I was part, obviously, of the interviewing process, but then I got to be a part of checking references with Chris Boy. And that ended up being 3 days of Zoom calls between us and the two remaining candidates and all the folks they had represent them. And from that process, it was just really clear. Keith just rose right to the top, and I'm really excited. He seems to be somebody who is so familiar with the Capital City, very familiar with downtown areas, and his experience in the revitalization of downtowns is gonna, I think, be key for you all here. And I hope that you guys can get him on one of your agendas this fall to come and just meet you and hear from you and what your struggles are and what your hopes and dreams are. And I think that he's going to be a really key asset for the group moving forward. So we'd love to answer any questions y'all have about that. And also, if you heard me talking before the meeting started, of course, we got the bond project list finalized, and that is out into the world now. And I'm very happy with what we've got moving forward, and I am of course been asked to step up and help Chris Boy kind of lead the charge on the council side. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with bonds, but there comes a point in time where city staff can't help anymore, and so it'll be up to us councilors to get this across the finish line. And so we'll be at the Chamber of Commerce next Thursday, Chris Hoy and I, for their 7 to 9 meeting in the morning, and just kind of laying it out and hoping to gain support, broad support, for really a far-reaching bond measure that really is helpful in so many different ways, everything from branch libraries to affordable housing to infrastructure. It really is just all-inclusive, I want to say. So a lot of work went into that, and I'm excited to see this side of the process, having never been through a bond process before. And so I get to be up close and personal with that and help lead us through November and hopefully get that approved by the voters. So all of that said, I'm trying to learn how to not talk so much. I think as a politician, we all we just naturally kind of have the gift of gab. And so I want to stop talking now and open it up for questions for me and just kind of open up the dialogue back and forth. So if anybody has any questions for me, please. I can't be doing that good of a job. There you go, Linda.
Councilor Stapleton, again, thank you for all the hard work that getting that bond together and ready to present to the public has, you know, been a tremendous amount of work. And of course, we all know that it's critical that this passes. So I'm hoping that the Downtown Advisory Board, all members, will promote it and encourage friends, family, and others to really take a look at it and to feel confident that it is something that needs to get passed, doesn't increase taxes, and is important for us to be able to get a lot of the infrastructure that is sorely needed done. So again, thank you for all that hard work. Please also let us know if there's other times besides this one that you mentioned that's coming up on Thursday the 4th, I believe it is, because again, it might be great if any of us could attend to be participating and expressing our hopes that this will be passed. And of course, I'm sure Dab will then come to the councilors and ask for that parking meter to be forward, but we'll get to that later. So and it's really fun to know about the jam that's coming. That's going to be great. And I know that Dab has been talking about trying to find something to do to kind of celebrate summer in the park, so this might be it. And I'm hoping that there'll be other further interest, in the sense that businesses can really take hold and promote it as well. So wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing up the parking situation. And I know that that's something that city staff are already starting to work on behind the scenes. I did advocate for them to start working on it now so that as soon as the bond passes, we can bring that forward. And for those of you who don't know, parking is an interesting thing, and people are, they have strong feelings about parking, which is very interesting to me on a regular basis. So the idea is that we just kind of tackle one big problem at a time, right? And the biggest problem that we have right now is getting that bond across the finish line. So we're going to tackle that. But behind the scenes, staff are getting things lined up and ready for us so that after that passes, and we're just going to speak in the positive and the affirmative, then we can tackle the next big problem. And the next kind of thing on the list is climate action and how that relates to parking downtown and really helping our community move forward into a new way of being downtown. And I think it's going to go really well. I there's a really funny word that my kids use around the house. It's called optimistic. It's a made-up word, but they like to attribute it to me because I'm always I'm always so optimistic about things, but I think that helps me carry a lot of things through to completion. So I am very excited to see that move forward. I think you all have advocated long and hard for that, and you deserve to see it go through, and the businesses downtown deserve to see this tax taken off of their businesses and kind of put the responsibility for parking back on folks who are using the parking itself. So I think that will go through, and I think the council is all in agreement there behind the scenes, and that'll be good. You did bring up another thing, Linda, and I'm trying to track what it was. I should have written it down. I think that we have done some really amazing things downtown lately, not only the Ironman event, but you guys had a wonderful Pride event. When was that? A couple months ago now. That really was successful. And I just see this continuing to build, right? And this festival that we're hopefully going to have at the end of August, I think, is going to be another building block to just really let people know how revitalized downtown is and inviting and folks to come down and enjoy it, for sure. If I remember what it was, I'll speak up.
I think you've addressed pretty much everything, so I think we're good. Thank you.
Yeah.
On the bond, I have a question. What are you most excited about with its ability to do for the community? Maybe not just downtown, maybe the community too. that I'm the most disappointed about in the result of, I'll call it the advocacy for it.
Yeah. Lord, that's a hard one to answer. I didn't know I was such a geek about transportation until I became a city manager, or no, sorry, city councilor, good luck. So I love all things transportation, which is hilarious. In Ward 1, we have a lot of crumbling pedestrian infrastructure. We have a lot of old sidewalks, and advocating for that bucket of a few million dollars set aside for sidewalk infill and sidewalk repair was really big for our ward. And I think that's going to go a long way. And then, of course, crosswalks. And that's actually how I got into politics, was sidewalks and crosswalks. So I'm a big, I get pretty geeky about that. I'm very, very excited. The completion of the family-friendly bikeway on Union Street is huge. You know, a lot of folks in Grant and Can Do, and over here in Then, which kind of just barely brushes that project, are really, really excited, because that was something that the community advocated for a long time, and it's a project that's been on the books and just waiting for money to be completed. And so that is a main connector for bike infrastructure, and that's really critical for me to be excited about, just for my own being in the world. I live really, I live a block away from Union Street, and so that's exciting for me and the community that I live around. Huge for West Salem is going to be Marine Drive, right? McGillcrest, oh my gosh, right? Like, this is something, these are dreams that staff and city council has had on their mind for years, and to be able to get those projects complete, and especially with things like McGillcrest, where we're hoping that, you know, business follows, because, you know, what's the infrastructure or what is the driving force of development? Is it the infrastructure, the investment from the government into an area, or is it the business, right? Which comes first? And I think that is so great to have us being able to complete the infrastructure, so that then businesses can continue to thrive, and then hopefully also more can come. I would have loved to have seen Front Street on that list. but of course, you have to not wish for everything. You know, it's hilarious. You think $300 million is like an amazing amount of money until the project list comes out, and then it's gone in an instant, right? And so, yeah, that's probably one of the things that I have been really, really interested in as a city councilor for Ward 1, live in this area, is Front Street and how that's going to develop and change in the coming years. So I would say that just for myself, I really geek out about transportation. So I'm excited about $157 million going to different ways of transportation, maintenance and a few new roads. One of the things that I think that this council really focuses on and it weighs heavy on us is equity. And I think that the fire stations and the equipment is actually one of the things that this topic really hits home with. Right now, I'm not sure if y'all have seen this, but there's a map out there that the fire department gives us counselors. And it shows kind of like a heat map of the city of Salem and how their response times are. And in this one area up northeast from here, kind of Highland area, a little bit north of there, along Portland Road, some of the response times are 12 minutes. 12 minutes. And of course, our goal is 5.5. Because, you know, at 5.5, if they can get there and start getting life-saving procedures and kind of catch it right before that 6-minute mark, then they can really help people retain quality of life. Obviously have a better chance of survival. So to have an area of town where you're upwards of 12 minutes is really, it's one of those meetings and conversations and handouts that you get, informational handouts that really sober the conversation and really bring a sense of seriousness to my job as a city councilor. So if the bond passes, we're gonna move one of our one of our stations from the Chemeketa area to hopefully somewhere out on Portland Road. And that will drastically increase their ability to get to these places in a timely manner. And so making sure that everybody has access to life-saving services when they need it is an issue of equity and one of the things that I'm really, really excited for. Yeah, I could probably talk all day about, you know, affordable housing and pairing libraries with affordable housing is just like mind-blowingly exciting for somebody like me. So I hope I answered both of your questions.
Yeah, you did. And thank you for elaborating too. It's just, it's really awesome to hear kind of the insight, at least of your perspective, of councils too, because this is a huge investment that we're collectively, hopefully, deciding to make as a community. And so it's great to see where the priorities are.
Yeah, there is. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm rooting for Front Street too. I think that's a really great opportunity. For the city, and we've been working with staff on a special project there. They've been overwhelmingly helpful and really helpful, very accommodating. So bravo to the staff. But
yeah,
it's all uphill, it feels like.
Yes. Please let me know if I can help at all on Front Street. If there's ever a meeting you'd like me to attend or anything of that nature, I'm happy to jump in where I can. So
thank you. If there's anybody else that has more questions, it's rare, well, not so rare now anymore that we get to see a counselor come to our meetings, but if somebody else has questions, that'd be great, because I know that we've got another report from Michael at engineering. Rory?
Yeah, Josh, I got something for Virginia. Thanks for being here at Council Stapleton, really appreciate it. And I wanted to kind of echo what Linda was saying regarding the Jam Fest at the Riverfront. That's really exciting. I think we all waited for that, you know, that new amphitheater to be utilized. And I just kind of wanted to learn a little more about that and who exactly is going to be, you know, putting that on. You know, how are they going to be recruiting the bands? And maybe how the DAB can help and, you know, as DAB members or community members could help.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you're actually giving me my first task because I don't actually have the answers for you on that. I know city staff are the ones coordinating this. I know that it's 8 different bands, but I don't know how they're going about that process or what types of bands they're looking for. But I can definitely find out more information. And I think, you know, the offer of DAB coming alongside and helping in any of these types of events, I think is always very, very helpful. So I can pass that along as well. Unless any city staff here has any answers, I can get back to you on that. And I did remember, Linda, what your conversation triggered, and that is, I was talking to the city manager today and asked when we were getting fireworks back for the 4th of July downtown. And she said, next year it will be there. They have to apparently file for either permits or the actual work and place the orders for this, for the items, the fireworks themselves, for a certain amount of time, lead time. And they didn't have that lead time with COVID. So they didn't know where COVID was going to be this year. And so they didn't file in time. So that's why we didn't have one when we could have, because of COVID was kind of a little bit on the decline then. So I advocated definitely for next year, let's bring it back. I don't know if you know this, but there are a lot of people in the city who don't like fireworks in their neighborhoods. And so us counselors are always hearing about it around 4th of July. And my point of view is if you have a community-wide event, so many people will go to that. And those people are not lighting off fireworks in their neighborhoods. So it's kind of a win-win. We kind of have a decrease. Our neighborhoods calm down a little bit. And we also get the chance to have a wonderful community event downtown. So thank you for jogging my memory on that.
Okay, well, if there's no further questions for Councilor Stapleton, we can proceed on to our Riverfront Downtown and Rural Renewal Area Project Update with Michael Miller and Cherie. Councilor, you can stay on for the rest of the meeting or peel off if you'd like. I know you're busy and probably have lots of other tasks to get to, but thank you for being here and for answering our questions.
Yeah, Yeah, and thanks so much for having me. I'll drop my email in the chat before I head out. I got to finish some schooling, homeschooling with my kiddo. But it's just great to see you all, and thank you for all the hard work you're doing. And let me know how I can be helpful in any way. I appreciate the chance to come and talk.
Thank you. Okay, Michael, I'm so excited to hear your presentation. I see all the work going on around downtown, and it's hard not to, I mean, you see it every day driving past it. So how are things going with cutting into these sidewalks?
I know Cherie asked me to come down. I know we've got a few new members on the boards, just kind of give an update about what's going on with some projects downtown. So I kind of put together a little bit of a, you know, I guess, information to kind of share here.
Right.
Not too much in the graphics, but kind of the first, have several different projects to kind of look at. And the first one I have, just to kind of give an update on, is the Union Street Family Friendly Bikeway. Just kind of where we're at with that one, design is complete. We are currently working on getting the plans and the bid documents combined together, and those need to be submitted to ODOT for their review. And the time frame we're looking is those are going to be submitted to ODOT on August 12th. And it'll go to ODOT for their review, as long as, and that review is what actually authorizes the federal funds that are being applied to this project. So their review actually gets the federal dollars authorized, and that's what we're kind of waiting for. We need that kind of authorization before we can go out to bid on the project. So as long as there is nothing that pops up from that review, which we're not anticipating anything to come up, we're actually looking at having the project go out to bid in October for getting bids back in so that we can get that project awarded. Kind of an overview of the project itself is it is on Union Street, between Commercial and Summer Street is the portion that we're looking at to add bicycle lanes. Between Commercial and High Street, that section currently has angled parking out there. That angled parking will be converted to parallel parking and then a bike lane. And then from High to Summer, due to the width of the street there, the on-street parallel parking will actually be removed and the bike lanes will be what's added in there for that section. And then also at the intersection of Liberty and Union, a traffic signal is going to be installed there to help with both the bicycle traffic, pedestrian traffic, and also kind of help with movements for the police station, trying to get out from the police station to go wherever they need to with their calls. So that's kind of, I guess, Union Street in a nutshell. I guess that there's specific questions. We can dive more into those if you've got them. I don't know if you want to kind of ask questions if you got them project by project or if you want to wait till the end. So
I think free form. I mean, if anyone has any questions or wins or anything, I think, you know, we've got plenty of time and space here. So let it fly if you've got anything on the tip of your tongue.
So, well, I'll just kind of keep moving forward. If somebody has something, speak up and we'll kind of address those as they come up. So kind of the next kind of item I had that's kind of in my purview is streetscape projects. So we're currently working, finishing up the 2021 is the year that I have associated with it. It's the one that's currently finished up, or we're finishing construction right now. Emery and Sons was the contractor on that. We did do a substantial completion walkthrough. We do have a few kind of, as we call them, punch list items that they are need to complete before we can process final payment and start closing out the project. But nothing that they have is anything that's major or monumental. It's just, you know, minor things in there that we're just got to make sure that they meet the city standards, you know, that they've got the right lids on junction boxes that are in the sidewalk, that they're actually labeled correctly and not just a, you know, a temporary lid that they had in stock and while they're waiting for the appropriate lid. So that project is finishing up. And for those that don't know where that one was at, that it was the west side of Commercial Street between State and Court, and then the south side of Court between Front and Commercial Street was where that project. And this project, one of the major things that that put in this area is it was lacking lighting. So this added in the pedestrian lighting to help light up the streets, provide kind of more of a safer area for people to navigate around when it's night and dark out. We did, one of the things that we did test in this one is next to the night deposit on Court, there is a, it's called a suspended soil pavement system that we did in one of the tree wells to kind of do a test at this point and kind of find out if it helps with the growth of trees downtown, if it will help keep the sidewalk from buckling and that down the road. It's one of those that we're not going to know tomorrow how it's doing. It's going to take some time to find out how the tree develops and what happens there to find out how, if that is kind of an investment we want to move forward with in future projects. Kind of spurring from there, we did go out in the 2022 project. We did put that one out to bid. We did receive one bid in May. Unfortunately, the one bid that we did receive was 20% over our engineer's estimate and about approximately 50% higher than what the phase that we just finished up was cost-wise. So we ended up on that project, or on that bid. We did reject all bids on that one, and we are actually going to go back out this fall and rebid that project in kind of the hopes that we'll have a little bit more competition, have more than one bidder, you know, and possibly have some better pricing. You know, and that just kind of all depends on what the economy does. But kind of what we ran into is we didn't have a way to determine whether or not some of the items they had in were competitive. So that was what kind of made it hard to justify moving forward with that, awarding that project. So this specific, the 2022 section is Commercial Street. Both sides between Court and Chemeketa is where that project lies. And again, we'll go out kind of looking later this fall, looking kind of that October time period is when we're looking at going back out to bid, you know, in hopes that, like I said, that we can kind of get contractors looking at their schedule for next year and where, how this can fit in with projects with in their schedule. Also currently working on the 2023 project for streetscape. And this one, we're currently working with two consultants right now to finish up negotiating with them for doing the design aspect of this. This one is a little bit bigger of a project. We've added in, we've basically on this one doubled the amount of streetscape improvements we're going to do, kind of anticipation of where we're going in the future with funding. And just with, so we've kind of split it into two different projects to go out to two consultants to help minimize the amount of time and the amount of work that they each have. This section, or this project itself, the part of the phasing is Commercial Street, the here on the east side between Front and Court. And then the second section is the south side of Chemeketa between Front and Commercial, and then also the east side of Commercial between Chemeketa and Center Street. And what this kind of, how this kind of ties in with the previous phases is this kind of pretty much gets us that we have Court Street to Front would be completed, kind of trying to connect Riverfront, and the goal is to connect the park to the state capitol is what the main focus to begin with is connecting the park with the state capitol. So, like I said, we're negotiating, finishing up getting the scope of works put together, and hopefully we'll have those awarded to the two that we're negotiating with right now is Keller and Associates and West Tech. And hopefully we'll have those awarded to them, and they'll be designing here in the next couple weeks.
So, Michael, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, I have a question. So because of you're doing the east side there between Center and Chemeketa, is the west side then going to be the responsibility more so during construction, the hopefully construction when that block is finally under construction? Will that be something part of happening for the developer?
That is kind of how we kind of were looking forward on that one, is when the demo occurs, usually they have to take out sidewalk. So it kind of made more sense to kind of wait until that is developed, and hopefully we can kind of work with the developer and get that as part of their project to move that forward.
And I'm making the assumption that where the Holman Hotel is going, that west side there on Commercial is also kind of being part of the streetscape as they finish up or as they're processing their development.
Yes, the Holman Hotel, they will do the west side of Commercial there, and they're also doing a kind of the frontage along Front Street or Ferry there as well.
Okay.
That they adjoin as so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. So kind of just an idea of how the streetscape kind of moves forward in the future. Kind of the next kind of four-ish years that we're looking at here would be to kind of focus on first Core Street and State Street, kind of alternating, doing one side of each one of those in sequential years. And then after that, looking at both Liberty and High Street, kind of alternating sides of the roads on those. And one of the things kind of learning from projects is want to do one side at a time, you know, granted looking at doing say six block faces, but don't want to go through and take out all six being three blocks on Court Street all at once. Don't want to take out causing that much disruption at one time. So that's why kind of splitting them so that we'll do half at a time on those different roadways. And, you know, I've worked with Cherie and we've kind of gone through and kind of have mapped out all of the riverfront downtown URA area. We've got kind of it mapped out to projects through 2033 is how we've had this mapped out, but kind of looking at just how to work through bit by bit. So, but this is kind of just the portions coming up here in the near future that kind of where we're looking at going. And then kind of one of the last projects that we're currently working on, it's actually been awarded to Aiken Construct or Aiken Electrical Contractors, is the for Court Street two-way conversion, converting Court Street to two-way traffic between Commercial and High Street is the section that we're focusing on right now. I know the master plan, the Central Salem Mobility Study, actually had converting both Court and State Street from Front clear to 12th Street, but most of that area is outside the URA boundaries, so we're sticking within the URA boundaries. And what we're looking on Court Street is we have awarded the contract. They are currently working on getting their long lead items, like the traffic signal poles have about a 20-week lead on those in order from the time you place the order to having those on site. So what we're looking at is that they're actually looking at probably starting some of the underground work that needs to happen before the poles arrive, probably mid-September with poles. Hopefully, from what we're getting from the manufacturer, it looks like they should arrive mid-October, and then having all of the work done. And the goal is to, you know, weather permitting, have all of the work done and have everything opened up prior to Thanksgiving. So that is kind of summary that I've got. If there's any additional questions that anybody has, I can more than happy to answer those questions.
So Michael, can you
I think one of the things, the more of these that we do, the more we then know how to look at the next area that we go to. But this particular area that we just completed with Streetscape was unique in that you had the two vaults. Because I know different people from the community asked me about why there were the big holes, you know, in the sidewalk that were so deep. And so we don't always have those vaults. And I think the other thing is that when we approached the streetscape, we got hit with COVID. And so if you look at how we, you know, attempted to do streetscape, part of that was influenced by, and I know the board knows this, trying to find locations where we could keep going but not disrupt businesses that were being challenged during COVID. A lot of businesses, you know, were using spaces in the street and needed expanded areas outside. We've also tried to, when we know something's happening, like UGM or now Nordstrom's, we'll come back in towards the end of the Ravenwood project and put streetscape in there, just like we're trying to queue up that when we do the redevelopment at Saffron, it will look good around it. It won't be a standalone. And of course, Twoman Hotel will put their own in. And just like the McGillcrest Rock building, they put in streetscape and Co's. So sometimes we can get more streetscape done when other projects are happening, which is great. And that's in addition to the schedule that you went through. But I thought they might be interested in hearing, you know, what a vault means and kind of how you guys approach even early on identifying those to the point where there's a couple of project or properties that we know of in downtown that have vaults that go all the way out to the curb. And our goal is to talk to those property owners early on, because a lot of them have it as additional square footage possibly, or they're using it for storage. And we want to make sure that they know that they won't be able to continue to do that, that it will get filled in. So I will be quiet now. And if you could educate us a little bit more on that, I find that very interesting.
Yeah, so on this last, you know, phase of streetscape, we did have two vaults. One of them was in front of, between Kelly's Blueprinting and Gallagher's Fitness. They actually had kind of a shared vault that kind of split both businesses, and they had a kind of an odd-shaped vault that you could actually get from one building to the other through the vault. What that really is, kind of my understanding is at one point, depending on how it was capped off the top, a lot of them you'll see that they've got the either purple or white glass block tiles that are in the sidewalk. My understanding is at one point those were for when the buildings were heated with coal. That is where the truck would show up and they would dump the coal into the basement. So that was the coal chute. So they needed kind of access to get the heating portion of the building. So that's what my understanding on some of these typically has been used in the past, is kind of access for that. And what we're looking at doing, or what we have done in the past or on these projects, is we go through and we build a, you know, a retaining wall at the property line, and it's part of the project that we are doing, and it gets filled back in so that when something occurs, you know, say down the road they have to dig something back up downtown, we don't have this big hole that we now have to worry about. How do we get across with whatever utility line it is that we've have to run through there? We're trying to make provisions when we're going through. We're putting in electrical conduit through there, and we're actually putting in spares so that if down the road, you know, there's some sort of need for data lines going to light poles, we've got conduits that are spares there that we can run those through. Or if we need to connect one traffic signal at one corner to another, we've got conduit that's already in the ground that might be, you know, empty right now, but it's easier to put in a piece of conduit now as part of construction and not need it than have to come back and dig everything up later to put those in. Kind of the same thing with the, on the, for the planters. We're putting in irrigation now while we have it dug up. A lot of the planters don't need to have sprinklers in them because they've got established trees, but might as well, while we've got them up, again, get the infrastructure put in so that we can, if something changes down the road, we don't have to dig things back up. But these, what we end up doing with these vaults is, we, like I said, we build the wall, we actually have them waterproof the wall so that water can't seep back into the buildings. And they actually drill holes. They're about 4-inch diameter holes that get drilled through the floor that was there. So that way any water that does come into this area has a way to drain out, and then it gets filled with rock. It's the same rock that we would put underneath any sort of roadway. It gets compacted in there and still lets the water infiltrate down through, and then it's capped at the top so that we can put sidewalks. We do run into, there is a few that I'm working with Cherie, we've ran into that they, it is, could be used as some sort of leasable space for the building. The ones that I have seen, like next to Salem Center, they've got a large one that goes from the building clear to the back of curb and is the full length of the building. So it's a 20 by 100 foot vault that's down here underneath the sidewalk that most people don't know that there is that kind of void under some, you know, quite a few of these sidewalks that you're walking on top of. And, you know, at one point they may have used it for leasable space, but we're having the conversations, like at least with the Salem Center, you know, ahead of time, that letting them know that when we come through to do these projects, we're going to be looking at trying to fill that in, because these vaults were actually, they're within the public right of way, and they actually have an encroachment easement is what they've got that allows them to currently have those remain, with the kind of the caveat on there that at any time the city could come through and ask that to be filled on the, at the owner's expense. So that's one of the kind of the nice parts with working with Cherie, and kind of as where we're initiating this project, we'll take on the cost to fill those in and not pushing that back onto the property owner. That kind of help answer that question for you, Cherie?
You're just amazing, Michael. Of course, my visual is there was all these rusty pipes and it looked like the sidewalk was going to fall in any minute. I couldn't believe there were those voids. You make it sound like, oh, there's this hole and it was decent. No, there was muck and water and they're disgusting. Getting them filled in, but I guess the reason I wanted you to talk about it is if we didn't have a vault, it can get done faster. I mean, those holes, it took a certain amount of time to cure the blocks, a certain amount of time that to just get through a process. So when you have a vault, the timeline is different in doing streetscape in that area. That was a big thing for me. I kept walking by, and I know I asked you a couple times, how long, and then you push everybody out into the parking spaces. It's just different. So it's just a different kind of project when you have the vaults, because it, you have to move everybody off the sidewalk out into the, and you're walking. It's just different. So I appreciate you sharing it.
And here's, I'll share this picture here. It's one of the pictures from, this is one of the vaults before when we were doing our initial kind of survey of what the size of this vault is. So, you know, we actually go down there with a structural engineer and they measure those so they can actually do the structural plans to design that wall to actually be able to hold back what we're putting in. So this would be kind of the one that was down in front of the antique store next to Night Deposit. And if it'll let me zoom in a little here.
Looks a little sketchy, Michael.
Yeah, some of these beams, it's one of those that I'm kind of going, there's metal beams down here that are completely rusted, and it's one of those that it kind of makes you wonder how the sidewalk still stands above it. But we get, you know, it's one of those that we're removing I guess, that safety issue at the same time. So any other questions?
I don't know if this is part of your purview, Michael, so feel free to punt this question, but how has it been dealing with supply chain and costs, overruns, et cetera, or surprises? I know there's been an allocation for the total project, but I can only assume it's bigger just because of these economic conditions.
Yeah, I know, at least with this last phase of streetscape, I know that's, you know, this one actually, bids went out in November, so that's kind of what we kind of look at as they kind of have to, you know, what we look at is the contractors lock in their pricing at bid. You know, we do have a little bit of flexibility to kind of work with them a little bit, but again, it's one of those not trying to create a precedence that we're going to, you know, I know one of them that came up is like on the asphalt when, because we repaved the parking stalls in there, that from the time of bid to them actually putting in the asphalt, the supplier actually, they buy it by the ton. And so the price per ton went up $10 a ton between, you know, November and June, which for them is, you know, it's a significant cost. So it's kind of working through, you know, it went from, if I recall right from some of their numbers, when they bid it at $55 a ton and it went to $65 when they actually purchased it from the supplier. So, you know, that is kind of a larger increase, and it's, you know, scope of our project is about a $1,500 increase, just to kind of give perspective, you know, but overall with it being a $860,000 job, $1,500 is kind of, you know, a small, but, you know, I know if it was me personally, that's a large number. So we try to work with them as best we can and still stay within the confines that we have to work with. But, and then, you know, on the supply side, I know anything that deals with anything electrical, the light poles, we kind of knew ahead of time. That's kind of one of the reasons on this last one, we bid in November and actually had a stipulation they couldn't start working until January, was on the previous project, we found that the light poles, they the supplier had told us 16 weeks from time of order to get me to shipping the poles. And we ended up finding that it was they ended up having to slip that out to almost 24 weeks. So it added another 2 months of waiting on light poles. So it's one of those that luckily we didn't have any delays on getting in light poles this time, but that's one of them that we're, you know, always kind of cognizant of, that anything metal, plastic, oil, you know, which is pretty much everything that we deal with, it's taking longer and costing a little bit more now.
Thank you, Michael.
So I see that there's two hands.
Oh, yes, Kirk.
Yeah, thank you.
Linda.
I'm not sure if it's a question more for Sheree or probably versus Michael, but so if you guys have developers looking at projects that are in those, you know, sidewalk improvement area that you're seeing would be done in 2029 or 2030, is there a process or a way that the city does help fund that for the developers to not make that burden on them or not tear out the sidewalk after they go in and do improvements for a new building or renovate a building?
I'll kind of start with that one. One of them that I'm seeing is development services. They are reaching out to both Sheree and I every time somebody comes in with a plan to develop something. And one of the things that we're, you know, that they're kind of used to now is that we're looking at having the design standard that we're implementing, kind of enforcing that on the developer as well. There is in the development code requirement to put in sidewalks and lights and all of that if it's not up to the current standard. We're still working on getting what we're actually implementing into the actual, getting it actually adopted. So that's still in the works. So really it's kind of just trying to push them into just changing their score pattern to match with what we're doing is kind of what we're, for the most part, looking at doing, and having them incorporate that into their development.
Thank you.
So, Michael, this is Linda again. The question I had for you is, so you're already talking about 2023. Does that mean that you'll be remaining in this position and you can see the project through the 10 years and beyond instead of having somebody else take over?
From what I'm told, that's where I'm kind of staying, is in working with Cherie and her group in the urban development and implementing these year after year. So.
It's great to have the consistency, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
I won't be here in 2030, Linda. I just want you to know that. But Michael will be. So, and again, we are very, very lucky, and I was shocked when Public Works actually gave him and made the commitment that he would be on point for this, just because of the value that they see, because they know that it will be the board's high priority for you guys for continued funding, which is why we went and mapped out everything so that we can keep it going. So they are, yeah, I mean, having Michael is amazing. The consistency and the value of that is just, we're really, really lucky. Well, it's great for me, but I hope you guys know that that's a real gift for us to have a person designated to us for this project.
Yes, I really, it's so true. That's why I asked the question tongue in cheek, but I'm really glad to hear that that was part of the plan. And thank you, Michael, for all your hard work. And Cherie, you can't leave until, you know, this is completed.
I second that.
Oh, you guys are just... It's because of these meetings, you don't have to be with me in person. I know. I would miss all of you terribly too. So, Michael, you can go do your lunch now. Thank you.
Hey, so on another note, talking about people leaving, Linda, how much longer are you going to be able to be with us before you graduate?
So, before I graduate, that's a good way to put it. So I was talking to Anita, and I'm not sure if you were on yet, Cherie, but she was saying that I will need to provide a resignation letter. And I said, but wait a second, I don't leave until the end of December. And we kind of counted up meetings, so there'll be about four more meetings that I'll be here. But yes, my term finishes the end of this year anyway, and instead of asking to be reinstated, I will be graduating to the next big room, if there will be one, or if we'll all be on Zoom anyway. Yes, I'll be here probably through the meeting that covers November and December.
Okay.
Well, and then you'll all get to pick on me. To come to the meetings and answer the hard questions, because you know I do have part of, you know, they, since they did the boundaries, I have State Street South, so I'm still now, like, so it'll be Stapleton and myself kind of needing to work with Downtown Advisory Board, so maybe we'll play tag and she'll get you one time and I'll get you the next.
Well, I'm just happy to hear that we haven't lost you.
No, at least not for a while.
Well, everybody, I in the essence of time, you know, we're 27 minutes ahead of schedule, but I know we've all got, you know, lives to lead and things to do. So if there's no other further comment or questions, I think we can happily adjourn this meeting.
So Josh, I just wanted you to let everybody know about the interview that you did with the mayor. And I think my update on the project across the street is the bid, the scope, all of that is with purchasing. So hopefully that will be out on the streets so that we can keep that demolition moving, and I think Nordstrom project speaks for itself. Sky Bridge is down, buildings down. We're just waiting for the new construction to start.
Well, yes, very good. I cannot wait to see. We should have a dab party on the bridge for when the demolition takes place, because I know that's been a long time coming as well. I remember this was, what, 2 years ago, Linda, you were on the subcommittee about that. That'll be a good day.
Well, do either of you want to fill us in a bit more information? I'm not sure I knew that you interviewed with the mayor, and is there something to update us with?
No, it was on YouTube, I think. It was like the mayor's monthly message or something.
Okay.
So he interviewed Cherie and I. So it's all on the public record. But it was a fun discussion. We talked about, the streetscapes and when, things are better happening and what we're most excited about. And we even had a little plug in there about parking, which we had a fun laugh about. There's some exciting things coming up on the pipeline. So it was really, really great to see Mayor Bennett's office reach out, because, with him leaving and, and Mayor Boyd stepping into those shoes, I think it's great to highlight some of the work and the achievements that the downtown team and staff, Cherie, and you, that you've been leading over this past, decade. So it's on YouTube if you guys really want to check it out. It's really
okay.
But with that, I think we can adjourn. Thank you, everybody. Rory, welcome to the DAB team, and look out for emails. We'll see you all next month. Bye.
Bye.